Since this is a compressed week, and tomorrow's Christmas Day, this being Christmas Eve, we're going to go ahead and do the Christ candle. The long-promised Messiah has come. Not as many expected, not an earthly king in luxury and power, but rather born into a working-class family. He was born not in a palace, but in a stable. His first visitors were not the great and mighty, but animals and shepherds. The scripture reading has already been read this morning by a cartoon character who has more wisdom than many human beings. So I won't read the Luke passage again. But we have lit the candle symbolizing prophecy, preparation, joy, and love. This morning, we light the Christ candle. Short wick. Symbolizing the birth of Jesus, God's Son, the Messiah, who came to redeem each one of us, restoring relationship with God. Lord God, may your blessings be upon us this Christmas season as we celebrate the gift of your Messiah. Grant that he be real to each one of us, that we would be transformed into his image. Amen. It is lit, by the way. It's a short wick. It'll take off here in a minute. All right. Some of you may have seen the post I made about how love can become ineffective if it's not received. You know, gifts are a big part of what we consider this season. Many of us have exchanged gifts with each other. Many of us are going to exchange gifts with our friends and family. And I'll tell you a secret about a gift. A gift is only as good as it is when it's received. Sometimes we have little things that get in the way. We had an accidental gift moment at our house yesterday. And it's amazing what a one-year-old will do about shuffling things. But as I was going to bed last night, I found that one of our gifts, one of our children, was sitting on the stairs behind the baby gate where Matthew had taken it and just set it out of the way. And, you know, that gift, somehow right now, Tim and Becca are not enjoying the benefits of having that gift because it got misplaced. And we can easily do that. You know, the giving of a gift is one thing. The receiving and using of a gift is something else entirely. So even God's perfect love given to us in the person of Christ Jesus in this Christmas season is ineffective unless there's a love response in return. We've got to receive what he has done. He has done what he has done. God has made the gift. It's up to us what we do with it. 1 John chapter 3 starts off like this: Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. And in this Christmas season with the giving of the Messiah, he began the process of opening the door for us to be called the children of God. And, you know, the offer's been made. Christ has come, but what are we making of it? What are we doing with it? Are we reflecting the love that God has bestowed upon us? Are we allowing it to come into our heart to change us and reflect outward from us so that other people can begin to experience the love of God through Christ Jesus? Now, there's the quandary, isn't it? We've got to be able to receive that gift before we can share it. You know, the old adage says, love isn't love till you give it away. Well, God gave love away. He sent Christ. And, you know, we were able to begin to receive that. But what are we going to do with it? If we receive that love, are we also going to reflect that outward to other people? And there's a lot of different things that looks like. But let's talk about for a moment the receiving of a gift. God offered to us love in the person of Christ Jesus. So what are we going to do with that offer? Well, first of all, when that offer of the love of God through Christ is made, some people just out and out refuse to receive the gift. And there can be all sorts of excuses, and those excuses may seem good at a time. You know, okay, well, I'll do it later. I want to experience this first. I want to live life. I've got plenty of time. Puts you in mind of an old song, doesn't it, Milo? There's this situation where people think there's always tomorrow. But let me tell you, that's not true. There isn't always tomorrow. We never know when the switch is going to get flipped. We never know when circumstances are going to converge. We never know that day. You know, everybody that leaves this earth, most of the time, they don't have a clue that today's the day. Some people do, some people don't. But circumstances happen, and disease happens, and accidents happen. The attack of the enemy happens, and people's life ends. And they think that there's plenty of time for them to get the gift, but they've missed the opportunity. Scripture very plainly says to us that today is the day of salvation. Grab the opportunity when it's given. You see, when Christ holds out this gift to you, you may get another chance to receive it, but you may not. We've got to receive the gift. And if we just say no, boy, that's tough. That's tough. You never get the benefit of the gift if you refuse the gift. Sometimes, and we've all done this, someone gives you a gift. You don't like it. You don't want it. You have no intention of using it unless maybe you want to re-gift it later. But you receive this gift and you smile with your little mask and you say, thank you. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And then you try to lose whatever it was that was given to you because you had no intention of ever really receiving it. You just gave it lip service. Oh, thank you for the wonderful gift. That's a piece of junk. You know what's sad, though? People do that with Christ. People think that somebody expects them to receive this gift. They come into a church service and maybe there's pressure put on them either by the people they're sitting with or by the congregation who turns around and looks at them when the invitation's given, or there's some kind of a situation where they feel like they are compelled to receive Christ, and they come up and they say the words, but nothing happens in their heart. Because I tell you this, if you don't have a desperate need in your heart, in your spirit, to receive Christ, then I've got to wonder, did you? Because you can say the words. Sure, I know what the book says. I know it says if I confess with my mouth and receive in my heart. Oh, wait a minute. I confessed with my mouth, but I didn't receive in my heart. Woo! You know, it's a dangerous thing, right? Because, you know, some people expect you to do this Jesus thing, and some people just don't want to do it. They want to be stubborn. So you can just out and out refuse, or you can receive it with, what's the old thing we did with kids? You can say anything you want to, but if you've crossed your fingers, it doesn't count. A lot of people come to a church service and they, quote, receive Christ with crossed fingers. No intention. No intention to live according to the Scripture. No intention to truly surrender. But that's one way to mitigate the effectiveness of a gift. You can refuse it, you can receive it with no intent to keep it or use it. You can receive it without understanding. And none of us really have a true understanding of what it means to receive Christ into our hearts until we actually do it. But some people remain in that lack of understanding, and maybe they have received Christ, but they never grow in the relationship. They're not abiding in the vine. They're not remaining in. Well, I said those words one time. It's got to be good, right? But they really have no intention of letting the gift have any merit or benefit in their lives. Maybe they're just trying to purchase a life insurance policy for heaven. But you see, you've got to really receive the gift, and you've got to use it in order for it to have any benefit to you. We've got to approach Christ. We've got to try to reach that point in our lives where we depend on Him. Not just in the emergencies. Not just when somebody calls and say, pray for me. Not when you're on the street in the ambulance going on your way to the ER. Every day. Every decision, every thought, every word. What would Jesus do is not just a catchy phrase that used to be popular on a bracelet. It's supposed to be how we live our lives. And in order for the gift to have any real effect in our lives and splash over into other people's lives, then we've got to receive it and use it. Sometimes, like that gift I talked about, it gets lost or misplaced. How many know life's busy? How many know that in addition to life being busy, there are a lot of things screaming for your attention? You know, at the Kidwell household yesterday, we had a one-year-old and a five-year-old and a two-year-old beagle who all wanted attention at the same time. Beagle had enough sense to try to get away from us sometimes, but you see, a lot of things happen, and we get our attention focused over here and forget that Jesus is over here. Now, He's right with us anytime that we go. You know, if He's in our heart at all, He's with us, He's in us, but other things seem to become bigger than He is. And in the midst of all that, we let things become bigger than Him. We let things confuse us and distract us and mislead us. And all of a sudden, we back up and say, whatever happened to the relationship I had with God? I used to talk to God every day. I used to have communion with the Holy Spirit every moment of every day, but life got in the way. And this thing that God did through Christ Jesus to change my life, to redeem me, it's not really having a whole lot of merit and effect in my life today because I've let other stuff get in the way. This time of year serves as a good reminder to get your priorities in order. You know, the next step in that lose it or misplace it is you forget about it. You get used to doing things your own way. Yeah, you gave your heart and life to Christ. Someday, I don't even remember the date. It was back here somewhere I did that. But life's gotten in the way, and I've got busy, and I'm not assembling together with the people of God because I just don't have time. There's other things I need to do. Not spending any time reading the Bible, not spending any time praying. I'm not letting the presence of God in my life affect me. And it gets to the point where you just basically forget that that relationship exists until the wheels fall off the apple cart in your life. Then all of a sudden, I've put it this way before, the moment you need to call 911 is not the time to string the telephone wire. Back in the day when telephones had wires. It's not the day to figure out, okay, you know, wait a minute, I've lost this line of communication. Oh, God, I need to rebuild it. You need to be able to call spiritual 911 right now. You don't have time to, I need to clean up 15 years of baggage here before I'm ready to call on God. No, you can't do that. It renders what God did ineffective. And then even worse, we can do what the Israelites did so often in the Old Testament story, is we can replace God's gift with another one, or one we think will work. Whether it be human wisdom, or philosophy, or a different religious viewpoint, or a worldly mindset that is in conflict with the truth of the gospel message, or with a relationship, or with a job, or with a thing, or with an activity. In that place of worship where God has your attention all the time, where the benefit of the gift of Christ living in you has an effect in your life, you've replaced that with something else to try to, for want of a better term, to medicate yourself. You know there's something missing. I got to cram something in there. So I'll put a substance in there. I'll put a relationship in there. I'll put an activity in there. I'll do something to try to fill. It's trite to say it, but there's a God-shaped hole in everyone's soul. And there's only one thing that satisfies it, and that is the presence of the living God through Christ Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the only thing that fills that hole. That's the only thing that fills that void. That's the only thing that allows you to be truly effective in helping other people. You know, there's a lot of rich people that can throw a lot of money at things. But that doesn't always satisfy the need, does it? Now, there's a lot of poor people who share the love of Christ, and sometimes that does a whole lot more good than a big old check does. You see, I just read an article. I don't know if it's completely true or not, so I'm not going to cite the organizations, but there were two things that it mentioned, two charitable organizations, and where do your dollars go? And one of them had like almost $75 million a year that went to executive salaries and advertisement and fundraising campaigns and retirement benefits. And another one had twice that. Two very common organizations. You see their advertisements on TV saying, give because we have these needs. And $75 or $150 million a year in donations that people give to do needs goes to overhead, enriching people and not satisfying the needs that those donations were given to. And I think that's a whole lot like we are when we try to do things in our own strength and in our own will. We expend a lot of effort, but there's very little benefit that comes from it. Whereas if we can reflect the love of Christ, if the love of Christ is coming into us and shining out of us, then that really helps people. It may not pay their power bill, but it may pay their soul bill. We can reflect that love of God into people's lives. I'll share a few scriptures with you this morning, just to kind of reinforce this point a little bit. John 15, 9 and 10 says this, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." You know what that scripture tells me? It tells me that the relationship requires maintenance. To abide in means to continue to be connected to, right? Well, sometimes that requires a little effort. It requires you to turn your telephone off, shut the TV down, and spend some time with God. It requires you to do the unthinkable of getting up early on Sunday morning and getting somewhat presentable and driving to assemble together with God's people. It requires effort on your part. Any relationship requires effort to maintain. All you old married people, requires some effort to maintain a relationship, doesn't it? Requires some effort on both sides. God's already done his part. We're going to do ours. Amen. Jude. Nice little short book. Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves. That says you got to expend some effort, right? Whose responsibility is it to stay in the relationship? Is it God's or is it yours? It's yours. God's offer stands wide open. So come on. Are you going to respond? Or are you going to walk away? Are you going to substitute something else? Romans 8, 38, 39, familiar scripture. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's true. But you know what the flip side is? There's one thing that can separate you from the love of Christ Jesus, or at least from the effect of the love of Christ Jesus, and that's you. If you choose not to continue the relationship, then there is a separation. The separation's not from God's behest, it's from yours. We've got to maintain the relationship. And as we move through this holiday season into a new year, we need to work on maintaining the relationship. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Offer stands wide open. Do we take it? Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You want some more? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I could go on with that, but I'm going to stop right there. Do you understand how important love is? And do you understand how easily misunderstood it is and how easily squandered it is if we don't apply some effort to the relationship? There are some things that I would consider in this life to be automatic. If you're here and alive, you've been born. That happened. At some point in time, unless the Lord comes back and catches us away before then, at some time, we will end this life. That's automatic. Everything else is subject to the will of God and our response to the will of God. He loves us. He reached out to us. Are we going to reach back to him? You've heard me say it time and time again. Michelangelo, on the roof of the Sistine Chapel, painted something that so shows the reality of God's love for us and our response to it. On the roof of the Sistine Chapel, you see the hand of God reaching down from heaven. And it is stretched out to every fiber in it is reaching out. And then down below, you see the hand of man reaching back to God. See the difference? It's not stretched out. It's not extended. It's not saying, what my one-year-old grandson does is pick me up, right? It's more like, okay. Our effort to reach, God reaches to us with everything that is in Him. But our effort to reach back to Him is sometimes so half-hearted. In this Christmas season, let's change that around. Let's extend our hand to God with every fiber of our being and draw Him, draw ourselves into His presence. He wants us there. He loves us. And in order for His love to be effective in our lives, we've got to expend the effort to reach back to Him. Amen, church? Stand with me if you would. The coming of Christ is more than something that happened 2,000 years ago. The babe in the manger is the start of something. The babe in the manger became the teacher on the hill, who became the man on the cross, who became the one who rolled the stone away and left the empty tomb. But you see, even there it didn't stop, because He also became the one who explained to His disciples what all that meant. And then He ascended to heaven so that the Holy Spirit could descend to us. The work of Christ is finished as far as what He is going to do. He's done everything that is necessary for us to have life and peace and love in Him. It remains for us to accept, truly accept what He did. And not accept it in a haphazard way with no intent of using it, but to accept it with a fullness of heart that says, you know what, because of what God has done for me, I must follow Him. I must serve Him. I must reach out to Him. I must do whatever is necessary to maintain that relationship. Up to us. This morning, as we are here together in this sanctuary on this Christmas Eve, it'd be a good time to renew a commitment to Christ Jesus. And to renew a commitment implies that you may have made one. There may be some here who have not made that commitment to Christ. Today's the day of salvation. If you're in that position and you'd like to accept Christ, we can read some scripture together and pray, and Christ will come to you. Or perhaps you've let life get in the way, and you need to kind of sweep out the door and open it back up again. The altars are open. If you need someone to pray with you, we can pray with you as well. Maybe you just want to worship Him some today. That's okay too. So as we close the service, the altars are open. Do what God's leading you to do this morning. The road is straight, the burden's light. For in His hands He holds tomorrow. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? You hear what those lyrics are saying? Is there room in your heart? You can come as you are. Time to clean out the clutter. It may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for His glory.